Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Well, I wonder how many of you have had the opportunity to watch the sham of this impeachment garbage on our Senate floor. What a disgrace. I begin to think as I listen to these people that how can they lie and expect that we are going to be so stupid that we will believe what we are seeing with our own eyes. The tape that they played was an edited tape done by a Hollywood producer. And did you notice what I noticed? There were no time stamps for anything. Isn't that very interesting? You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. Another thing that I noticed was they really don't care what they're saying as long as they can get to the end where they blame President Trump. These people are communists, and we have to treat them as such and understand that the ends justify the means. So they don't care what they say. They don't care if there's truth. They don't care who they hurt. It doesn't make any difference as long as they get to that end. That's what their goal is. And when it comes time to talk about communists, I love to talk to Frank DiVerona because nobody knows better how communists act and behave than somebody who has actually been there, done that, and sadly so, even spent time in prison. Frank is an author, a speaker, has been on numerous shows, and is a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine. And Frank, thank you so much for joining me with the show today.
Well, thank you, Karen, for inviting me one more time. And yes, I watched the entire show, the sham impeachment. Shameful, make you sick to see that it's a president who did not commit any crime, who asked his followers to march peacefully and patriotically towards the Capitol, and that movie that they did not show that at all. It showed him like saying, you know, attack the Capitol. First of all, the president offered Congress and the mayor of D.C. 10,000, he could deploy 10,000 National Guards to protect D.C. and the Capitol because the FBI had information that there were many groups that were planning an attack upon the Capitol. A lot of them were Antifa, a lot of them were Black Lives Matter. And they told Mitch McConnell, who is a traitor, they told Nancy Pelosi, who is also a traitor, the FBI told them, and then they refused the offer from the President of the United States to protect them, and they only asked for 500 National Guards without any weapons. These two people should be investigated because they are responsible for what happened at the Capitol. They were forewarned by the FBI, who spoke to the Capitol Police, and the Sergeant Major spoke to Mitch McConnell in the Senate and to Nancy Pelosi in the House and said to them, you are going to have people storming the Capitol. And they did nothing. In fact, their videos that shows in another part of the Capitol where four police officers opened the doors and asked Trump supporters to come in peacefully. While in another part of the Capitol, some of the communists and anarchists of Antifa and the others were destroying windows. They came with a mask, helmets, boots, ropes. Have you ever seen a Trump rally, anybody like dressed like that? These were communists.
Absolutely not. And I have been communists. To several.
Yeah, I've been to several of them. They're very peaceful. People wear MAGA hats. They come dressed nicely. No one brings boots. No one brings equipment to scale walls. These were Antifa. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the Trump supporters were encouraged by these people to enter the Capitol, and some of them who should not have entered, entered. But it was provoked by Antifa. Also, the FBI now has a picture of a person that came early to D.C., and he's thought he's the one that put two pipe bombs, one in the headquarters of the Democratic Party and another one in the Republican Party. They brought cocktail Molotovs. Also, they were taking advantage of what was going on in order to blame Trump supporters and blame the president for the violence that took place. It's a horrendous thing that happened in the Capitol. I'm against violence as much as you are. There were some stupid Trump supporters that were lured into the Capitol by four police officers, who you can see the video opening the doors and asking the people to come in. So they thought it was okay to go in. And others that after they broke the windows from another part of the Capitol, they went inside, which they should not have done that. But so all of this is, I think it was provoked by the traitor, Mitch McConnell, and the other communist traitor, which is Nancy Pelosi. I think they wanted that to happen precisely so they could blame Donald Trump and impeach him for something that he was innocent. In fact, he offered troops, and they turned him down.
Frank, can I ask you a question? You have experienced communism. Is this something new, or is this something that we have seen before? Who is Antifa, and have we ever seen this kind of behavior before, or is this a brand new thing that somebody just dreamed up?
Well, actually, we have been infiltrated for decades by communists in the United States. There's a great book that you can get my books as well, but let me mention this book called The Naked Communist, Exposing Communism and Restoring Freedom. This was a book that was written in 1958 by W. Cleon Skousen, who worked for the FBI, and later he was a police officer in Salt Lake City. In his book, there's a chapter called The 45 Steps That You Need to Have Before a Nation Becomes Communist. I'm sad to say that those 45 steps have been done in America over time, over decades of time. And one of those steps was to have a main political party to be completely communist, and that is the current Democratic Party. The entire party is a communist party. Another step is to get all the unions to become communist. All of them are communist now. Another step is to start teaching communism in schools. That is being done right now. They're implementing the Black Lives Matter pre-K curriculum, which is completely communist, and it's also against Judeo-Christian values, because they are teaching it's okay to be transvestite and to have sex, boys with boys, girls with girls. It's an anti-religious curriculum, and the three founders are trained Marxists, and two of them are lesbians, openly lesbian. So all of these 45 steps have been done, even with President Trump being president. It was being done. And also you have the 1619 project from the New York Times, which also has been adopted in many school districts, and that's a communist curriculum also being implemented. So we are teaching communism now in many of our public schools, and parents who are listening to us should make sure that if they are attending a public school and they're teaching communist neighbor, they need to get the kids out of that public school and enroll them in a private school or a charter school, or teach them at home if necessary, so that the kids do not become communists. So it's very sad, but there's been a takeover in the 2020 election. It was an election that was stolen. China, most of all, and that came very late when John Ratcliffe, after January the 6th, after they had already voted for Donald Trump, accepted the election fraud, Donald Trump won more than 80 million votes, and Biden won 68 million votes. They stole like 20 million votes. Who did that? Well, big tech participated in that. China attacked us cybernetically with cyber attacks. It's lengthy to explain. I don't know what I mean to talk about.
You know, as you're talking, I'm just realizing that all of the times that they said there is no evidence, well, obviously there's no evidence if you don't look at it. But the way that they went and stole the votes made it so hard for the average person to understand what was going on. Because when we say they stole an election, we think, okay, so they stuffed the ballot boxes, or dead people voted, or people out of state voted. But nobody realized that the cyber part, I think, played a much bigger role, because I read that over 2.4 million votes were stolen that way.
Yes, all of that happened. They stuffed the ballots. Dead people voted. People that were minors voted. Illegal aliens voted. There was ballot harvesting in many of the Democratic states. All of that happened. Corrupt election officials all over the place cheated. The lawyers for Trump had 2,000 affidavits, one of which was a post office worker who was sent by the post office, the union endorsed Biden, by the way, and he was sent with a truck from New York to Pennsylvania carrying 260,000 votes for just Biden. He signed that in an affidavit with the penalty of perjury and 5 years in prison. So that happened. But the biggest, as you mentioned, it happened, and I have all the information, I've studied that. It came out of Italy, out of the American embassy in Rome. A deep state operative from the State Department that was working there worked with the IT head of something called Leonardo Satellite, that is the seventh largest military company in the world, partly owned by Italy, the Italian government. And that satellite, the CIA working with MI6, that's the secret, CIA of Great Britain, both of them conspiring with this man, which is now being in trial in Naples, Italy. His name is D'Elio. And he confessed what he did in an affidavit, said, I participated in stealing the election together with the State Department person and also the CIA and MI6. And when those five states at 2:30 in the morning stopped all of a sudden, they knew exactly how many more votes they needed, because Trump won every single state. It was the largest landslide in history. And all of a sudden, from Italy, using Leonardo satellite, they send fake ballots, and that's how they stole the election.
They did not physically take a paper ballot and do something.
No.
What they did was electronically. Is that what you're saying?
They cyber warfare.
Aha. Cyber warfare. So this is what cyber warfare really is all about.
Exactly. And also China, from China too. I mean, the election was stolen in many different ways, not just one thing, many different ways. And they couldn't believe that Trump was still ahead, because they kept stealing votes and votes and votes, and he still was winning. So that was the drastic thing they had to do at the very end, what I just mentioned, out of the U.S. Embassy in Rome, with a State Department traitors working there. But of course, there was massive cheating, the usual cheating, you know, dead people voting, the people don't live in the state, illegal aliens vote, all of them vote in California because they have a license, and anybody has a license can vote, you know. So it was massive cheating. Also, big tech involved as well. All of the big tech, they all helped. Zuckerman gave $400 million to many election departments to help them cheat, $400 million. And they all gave millions and millions of dollars to Joe Biden. So now, sadly, the United States is totally controlled by communists. And China was very much involved. John Ratcliffe, who headed 17 Intelligence Agency, was supposed by law, by an executive order, to talk about if there was election interfering on December the 18th. The CIA refused to write the report. He couldn't get them to do the report. That was insubordination to the president. If I had been him, I would have fired Gina Haspel from the CIA and any other CIA that was trying to stop that information coming out. So finally, when Ratcliffe comes, when does he do the report? After January the 6th, after. And in his report, he talks about China interfering in the election. But by that time, they already had ratified Joe Biden. It's very sad because this was China has put in power a communist government. Joe Biden is on the payroll of China. His entire family is on the payroll of China. He went there when he was vice president in Air Force Two, took Hunter Biden, his cocaine, crack cocaine addicted son, with him. And out of that meeting where he meets with the president of China at the time, or the dictator that they had at the time, Hunter Biden comes back with $1.5 billion from the Central Bank of China. Hunter Biden, who doesn't speak Chinese, who doesn't know anything about finance, he comes out of that, and later energy company also gives him millions of dollars, not just to Hunter Biden, to James Biden, the brother of the president. Joe Biden and his entire family, just like the Clintons, is a criminal worldwide enterprise who have sold the United States to Russia. They took $3.5 million from the wife of a former mayor of Moscow, direct payment to Hunter Biden. They took money from Romania. They took money from Kazakhstan. And the bulk of the money came from China. So China owns Joe Biden. And when we talk about China, we will talk about the fate of Taiwan, which is going to fall at any time in Chinese hands. But anyway, if you want to go back to the impeachment, I'll be happy
yes.
to do that. And then
we can go. We can talk about China because this is crucial. So we will talk about China in the next segment. And let's talk about this impeachment sham, because this is what communists do in order to intimidate their opponents. They cannot have opponents. They cannot have an opposition to their messaging. Frank, would you say their ideology is more important than humanity?
Communists are the most evil people in the world. They want total power. They want to destroy you if you are an anti-communist. Who knows what's going to happen to me and you if this continues? Thank God we live in the state of Florida. I want to also talk a little bit about how we can fight what's going on, because that's important to give people some hope. Maybe we can do that later. But because there are about 30 states like Florida and Texas that are controlled by patriots, Republican patriots, unlike some of the traitors, Republicans, that are in Congress.
Frank, we have a break coming up, and folks, we will be right back. This is Karen Schoen and Frank DiVerona. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education.
Well, my fellow Americans, we sure do love our convenient shopping options. But what happens after we buy? Are the products coming from China or overseas, thereby putting our fellow Americans out of business? Are the profits being sent to groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, groups that intend to destroy the freedoms that we enjoy? Well, listen, I'm an avid consumer just like you are, but I've realized that we need to think before we buy. Shopping should be convenient and easy, sure, but we need to be able to follow the money. Well, shoptotheright.com. It's brand new. It's a new shopping platform featuring American companies with a focus on products that are made right here in America. Well, listen, this is a novel idea and one that I believe will start to become more popular and create a shopping revolution. ShopToTheRight.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Karen Schoen and my guest, Frank DiVerona, and we have been having an incredible conversation about the impeachment and then China. So let's finish with the impeachment, Frank, because personally I'm finished with it already. It is a sham, it is a circus, and it is the people who should be impeached are the ones who are causing the impeachment. Of course, they're the ones that are projecting what they have done onto Donald Trump and his 75 million followers.
That's not happening in our state of Florida or in Texas. And all of us need to get together, the 30 states, and fight communism together, all the red states, together. And one of the things that are very optimistic about our governor, our great governor that worked really hard in his campaign, he wants to attack big tech. Already two nations of the world are doing that. Poland and Hungary have passed laws that if big tech censors any citizens from Poland or Hungary, they will impose a fine of 2.3 euros, a fine against big tech. Well, now our governor, with some of our Republican legislators, they want to pass a law in Tallahassee, and Texas is looking to what we're doing maybe to do the same, where we're going to pass a law that says if big tech, any big tech, Google, Facebook, YouTube, any of them, start censoring people, they will be fined $100,000 a day. I wish you would say $1 million a day rather than $100,000. And if they continue, they will be getting those fines. And in addition to that, they wanted another thing that they should do is divest any stocks. You know, we have a very big Florida retirement system where takes care of the teachers, police officers, government state employees, and they own stocks in Facebook, Google, all of these people. They own. Sell every single stock that you have. That will hurt them in their pocketbook because this, and if 30 states do that, it will practically destroy big tech because their stocks are going to drop to the floor if you start selling them like that. So that's what we need to do. The state of Texas has challenged the no deportation rule with a federal judge. The federal judge granted 2 weeks to Texas, and now has granted another 2 weeks, which means Texas has continued to deport criminal aliens that are in Texas. Of course, Biden wants all the criminals to remain here. He wants to open our boundaries, let everybody come in here, no more cash and release, because they're hoping that, well, that's part of the new world order, you know, no boundaries, everybody comes in, and that will, of course, destroy our workforce, people, and then also coming in at a time we have a pandemic, all these people could be very infected with a virus, and we're going to let them come in so they can infect us, and also our workers are going to have competition from illegal aliens. The president had two lawyers that defended him. The first one, I thought it was somewhat weak, and then there were three Democrats that really were very well prepared. They lie all the time, but they presented very well. And those were Jamie Rankin, a Democrat from Maryland. He was the lead impeachment manager. He was followed by an African-American by the name of Joe Neguse, Democrat from Colorado, and David Cellini, a Democrat from Rhode Island. But anyway, the lawyers of the president said, there's no jurisdiction. You cannot impeach somebody according to the U.S. Constitution when that person is no longer in office. It's illegal what you're doing. There's no jurisdiction. Then the Senate had to vote whether to proceed with impeachment or accept. And ended right there, there's no jurisdiction. Unfortunately, six traitors of the Democratic Party joined the Democrats and the vote. At the end of the day, yesterday was 56-44. The 60 Republicans who joined the Democrats in voting to continue the trial were Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. These six traitors should be defeated the next time they run for re-election by conservative Republicans. They are traitors, as well as the 10 Republicans who voted for the impeachment in the House. Each of the 10 need to be defeated as well.
Yeah, we have a monumental job to do in the 2022 election, but if we don't get the election straight and we don't stop the fraud, it's not going to make much of a difference. So that is a state's issue, and that is something that we should be looking at our state. But I liked what Frank said before. The only way to defeat these people is money. And if we withhold our money, stop using their products. There are plenty of other Facebook-type platforms that you can use, like Gab. There are search engines like DuckDuckGo. You don't have to use Google. I stripped everything off of what I have said, because in reality, they're watching us. Aren't they watching us?
They're spying on us all the time. All big tech works with the Marxist government that we have. They work directly. They take orders from them, or they give orders to them. Yes, we need to do that, no question about it. And there are 30 Republican states that have governors and legislature that are controlled by Republicans. So we need to band together, and they go all the way to Canada, you know. North Dakota, South Dakota, all of those states, you know, all the way down to Texas and Florida, South Carolina, and so forth, you know, we need to fight against communism as much as we can, while we can.
I don't think people realize how evil communism is, but there's one other thing that I wanted to point out. It does not matter what name they give communism, what name they give the ideology, it doesn't make any difference, and they use that as word games, because if you call or say someone is a communist, they will say, oh no, I'm progressive, I'm a liberal, I'm a globalist, I'm a whatever. What we have to understand is that all of these words all mean exactly the same thing. They all lead the same place. Their goal is always the same thing, absolute power. Correct?
Yeah. Yes. The word socialist, progressive, is the same thing as communist. And we need to use the word communist. No more progressive, no more socialist. You are a communist. The entire Democratic Party has become a communist party. And that's, we have to use that term, communism, because that's where they are.
They are
going to proceed trying to destroy America to make us slave of China. Next thing is going to go, they want to destroy the armed forces. You remember when Obama was in power with Joe Biden, they cut $35 billion a year from the Pentagon. And when Trump took over, he found the armed forces practically destroyed. We didn't have, we couldn't fly our planes. We didn't have the parts for our planes. It was a disaster. So that's the next thing. In addition to that, what's happening right now, they are purging patriots. Those are in the FBI, CIA, military, and they're openly saying it. We're going to get rid of the military, of white nationalists, of all of these people. White nationalist is a term for a patriot who is a Trump supporter. So that's what they want to do, eliminate all of the patriots that are still left in the FBI, CIA, and the Pentagon. And this is very sad. So this is the next thing that communists do is just that. So they can have absolute, total power. So they can oppress the rest of us. That's what they want to do. This is what the Biden administration is doing as we speak.
I'm surprised then, because in the end, the Joint Chiefs did not really stand up for President Trump. In the end, when they could have done something and the election was fraud, they were not going to get involved. They said there would have been no martial law. And yet President Trump did so much to refurbish the military and bring it up to the number one world-class military. So why do you think they turned on him?
Well, when Obama and Biden were in power 8 years, they fired 200 admirals and generals from the Pentagon that were patriots and changed them for people that were loyal to them, extreme leftists, globalists. And what's now in the Pentagon, in the top, are those people that were not purged by Obama. So that's why they were never for Trump. Look at all the traitors. You had Mattis, so famous, right? He was Secretary of Defense, four-star Marine general. He is appointed Secretary of Defense. And then when he's in active duty, he meets with Dan Coats, former senator, Republican senator from Indiana, who Trump appointed him director of intelligence of 17 intelligence agencies. The two of them meet in a church in D.C. when they're actively working for the president to say, how can we get rid of Trump? We need to throw him out of power. Conspiring against the president of the United States. And the president was misled. He picked all the wrong people. He put Rex Tillerson, who also wanted to get rid of the president, using the 25th Amendment. That's the first Secretary of State, a globalist, a traitor. And then he put, after they get rid of a patriot, Michael Flynn, after they get rid of him, the president hires H.R. McMaster, who studied in London at the Chatham House, at the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And he's the one that kept in the National Security Council of the White House all of the Obama and Clinton appointees who were working for the deep state to destroy the president. So the enemy was within the White House. And the president didn't have the information, didn't have the right advisors, and also the other one, Kelly, and another four-star general, a traitor as well. So that's what happened to the president. And the biggest traitor of all was the last attorney general that he had, Barr, a complete traitor, kept talking tough and did nothing about. Kept telling the president, don't worry, we're going to arrest all of these people in the summer. John Durham is coming. John Durham is another traitor too. John Durham is coming out with the report prior to the election. We'll arrest Comey. We'll arrest Lisa Page. All of these traitors are going to put him in jail. We're going to put John Brennan in jail. And it was a lie. They misled the president until the attorney general, Bill Barr. He said the election was clean. There was nothing wrong with the election.
Yes, I
that's
remember
the final knife in the back that he does for Donald Trump. He said this state operative, Trump should never have hired him. He was in the CIA. Who hired him in the CIA? Herbert Walker Bush, who hates Trump, the former president who died. He was the head of the CIA. And then who makes him attorney general? President George Herbert Walker Bush names this guy attorney general. So why would you want to hire an attorney general who is working with the biggest enemy you have, which are the Bushes? Why would you do that? When he did that, I was giving a conference in Miami, and I said, what a tremendous mistake to have hired this guy who has worked all his life for Bush. And Bush is an enemy of Trump. How would you hire somebody that is a close friend of your enemy? And you think he's going to be loyal to you? So he made many errors in appointments. Talk about the president, who's a patriot, who I have immense respect for him. I campaigned very hard for him on two elections. I was a surrogate in the 2020. I had an office in Miami with 200 volunteers in 2016. And I've been sending him all kinds of all the books. I send them articles asking him to declassify things. that if he had followed my advice, he would have been reelected. I was in the White House on September 23rd, 2020, when he invited the board of directors of the Bay of Pigs Veterans Association. I, my latest book that I wrote, I left for him in the White House with a presidential assistant, and I said to him, all he needs to do is follow these two chapters that are here, declassify the Hammer, what the CIA did, declassify Presidential Directive 11 that Obama, when he was president, did a secret memo saying he wanted to turn the entire Middle East to Iran and the north of Africa to Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. He, Obama created the Islamic State. He's a traitor, and he needed to put him in jail. He needed to put Gina Haspel in jail, all of these people, and he didn't do it. And the military was not going to support him. The military was working for Obama.
I think that's why he didn't do it, because he didn't
He didn't have any support. He couldn't declare martial law, which he had every right to do, and a state of emergency. He couldn't do it because the military would not support him. Openly, they said it. Openly. If you do that, we will be insubordinate. So he never had the support from the military to do it. And you cannot declare martial law if the military doesn't back you. But the military that he inherited were the generals that Obama and Biden left working for them the entire time.
Wow. So he could have done the same thing and gotten rid of them, which he didn't
he sure
do
have.
Because his advisors...
I would have fired the entire
yes,
people with staff.
I was just thinking the
fire
same
Gina
thing.
Fire Gina Haspel. Get rid of the guy, the attorney general. He didn't do it.
No. He didn't do it.
He waited too late.
He did tremendously wonderful things, incredibly well, and some of the things that he didn't do were incredibly bad.
That's
Donald Trump. You have the best of the best, and sometimes you get the worst of the worst. And that, unfortunately, is what we are suffering now, because we are being overrun by China and by our southern border being open. These people are coming in by droves, and as Frank just said, they're coming in without any, quote, COVID testing, and they're being dispersed throughout the country.
So they can spread more viruses. In addition to that, the ban that the president had with Venezuela, no one from Venezuela could come over here, and from a bunch of Arab states where there's a lot of terrorists, that ban is gone. So now they can come in too, directly from Venezuela. They can come in. Communists from Venezuela are welcome. People from Somalia are welcome. People, all of these, where there are lots of terrorists, they are welcome. This Biden administration want to destroy America completely, and they have done it in 2 weeks. 45 executive orders, all of them against the national security of the United States and against the economy of the United States.
Thank you, Frank, for joining me today. This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education with Frank DiVerona. See you in a few.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Everything is connected. Nothing is random. Everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies. If we follow that, then you will know that the communists are only after one thing, power. And they use money to be able to do that, and then control. And I believe this mask garbage is really just for control, because the more that we learn about the COVID, the more we discover that wearing a mask doesn't do really anything. What does it do? It controls the people. It makes it difficult for you to have a conversation because you want to read the person's expression. We know that if we follow the money, usually there's something sinister behind. This is Karen Schoen, and welcome back. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education. I want to read something to you. The Chinese biological laboratory in Wuhan is owned by GlaxoSmithKline, which, by coincidence, owns Pfizer. And that's the one who produces the vaccines for the virus that, by coincidence, started in a biological laboratory in Wuhan, which, by coincidence, was funded by Dr. Fauci, who, by coincidence, now promotes the vaccine. GlaxoSmithKline, by coincidence, is managed by BlackRock Finance, which, by coincidence, manages the finance of Open Foundation Company, which is a George Soros foundation, which, by coincidence, serves the French AXA. Coincidentally, Soros owns the German company, Winterfuhr, which coincidentally built the Chinese laboratory in Wuhan and was brought by the German alliance, which coincidentally has Vanguard as a shareholder, which by coincidence is a shareholder in BlackRock, who by coincidence, coincidentally, controls the central banks and manages about a third of the global investment of capital. BlackRock, by coincidence, is a major shareholder in Microsoft, the property of Bill Gates, who, by coincidence, is a shareholder in Pfizer, which, by coincidence, is selling the miracle vaccine, and he is, by coincidence, currently the biggest sponsor of WHO, who just decided, after listening to and having the Chinese investigate themselves, that the COVID did not come from China. Now we understand how a dead bat sold in a wet market in China infected the entire planet with a virus no more deadly than the flu. So what was this virus all about? This was about to bring China into America in a big way. And for those globalists on the top to be able to do a profit taking of humongous proportion, they will be making billions of dollars off of this vaccine. And Joe Biden will be turning America into a Chinese puppet if he has his way. One of the things that he just did recently was to stop any reporting of the Confucius Institute, which is now located in our elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and colleges. And the scary part about bringing the Chinese into America is not that America would teach the Chinese what capitalism is about and free thinking and entrepreneurship. No, no, no. It's so that the Americans will be under the scrutiny of the communist Chinese. And one of the biggest things that the communist Chinese do not agree on and will never support would be any religious person who will pray to anyone other than the Chinese communist government. And when we talk about God and losing our God and losing our ability, as we see more and more of our legislators saying, oh, the pledge is not important. Well, why is the pledge not important? Because it mentions God, that we pray to God. They will be getting rid of the Constitution because that shows that America is a country that is invested in God. We believe in God. And when we talk about God, I like to bring Pastor Rick Stevens because he gives me a grounding to be able to understand what's going on, what happens when God is taken out of the picture, Pastor. Where do the people go? Where do they turn? What do they do?
Well, all kinds of things happen when we take God out of the picture. And I think we sometimes recognize that on the one hand, but fail to recognize it on the other. It's interesting that the Bible teaches us that the failure to acknowledge God as God is what causes all of the other ills that we experience in society. It's really quite a remarkable thing to trace it back to that pivotal decision that people should obviously know there's a God and should recognize him as a God and honor him as God, and yet people don't. And when we fail to honor God as God, we adopt other small g gods, and we tend to go in our own direction. Then when we go in our own direction, it turns out badly. And then we keep going in our own direction because we're stubborn and we just don't want to acknowledge God. And before you know it, things are upside down and inside out. And that to me sounds like a description of these days. Things are upside down and inside out. And we all trace it back to the failure to acknowledge God and to honor him as God, the one who rules and reigns over everything we know and everything we can't know.
Now, many people, unfortunately, don't believe in God, but God grounds you. And the idea that there is a God out there that checks on you, God helps us eliminate the hatred by allowing us to see the love and the light. And I think that is so important. And our children are so now engrossed with hatred that it is going to become impossible unless we bring them back. And that's up to us as parents, as mentors and friends, to make sure that our children are grounded in a moral society, because morality is what makes America work. Morality is actually what makes the world work. If we're not moral, where do we go from there? Everything will be based on the frivolous idea of the moment. And we see that happening more and more and more. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, there's no question when you remove God, and as you rightly said, the framework for a moral society, God tells us what's right and what's wrong. When you remove that transcendent idea, then you allow a different set of ideas to enter and to control what is right and what is wrong. So when people decide they want to go their own way and choose their own right and wrong, sure, they eliminate God, because then they can say this is right and this is wrong according to their own estimation, their own idea of what is right and what is wrong. And that can turn out to be anything. And that's exactly why today we see people calling right the things that God calls wrong, and calling wrong the things that God calls right. So we shouldn't be surprised, because what they've deliberately done is tried to take God's transcendent ideas of right and wrong out of the picture.
We have done an amazing job as a group of people exposing what abortion is really all about. And I'm really happy to say that abortion is down in America. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We are so blessed. And this was coming right out of Planned Parenthood statistics. They are doing less and less abortions on a continual basis. That is a wonderful thing, as we understand now, and people are beginning to understand that a baby is a baby. And it doesn't matter when you kill the baby, you're still killing a human being. But the void has to be filled with something else. So as one thing goes down, one atrocity goes down, we have another atrocity coming back up. So let's take a look at Planned Parenthood for a moment. Planned Parenthood, at one time, I think it was 10 years ago, there were 23 Planned Parenthood offices throughout the country. Today, there are over 250. So if they're not concentrating on abortion, what are they concentrating on? Would you believe they are now in the transgender business and are making a business out of taking our children and turning them into transgenders? I saw that day before yesterday as a news clip that just was a quick flash, and I was horrified to see what, again, the target of Planned Parenthood is on our children. What are we to do about that, Pastor?
Well, they've clearly been targeting children in a lot of ways, and the gender issue today is really not that complicated. I think that we who understand that there is a God and he created us and he doesn't make mistakes by his creation and he works to redeem us in the midst of a broken world can go back to the simple reality that the Bible teaches us that in the beginning God created male and female. And that's that. Why we have to walk through so many hoops and distort our understandings to try to explain one thing or another goes back to the idea we started with. When you fail to acknowledge God as God, then you lose your foundation, your moral compass. Here we are going any which way except the right way. For Planned Parenthood or anybody else to enter that is not a surprise, but it's disappointing. Planned Parenthood has been disappointing us for years. 80% of Planned Parenthood's abortion clinics are within easy walking distance of minority neighborhoods. And 60% of those clinics are in minority zip codes. That's just devastating. And we should all realize that. And that's a target on a certain group of people, and it's despicable to switch gears and to go some other direction. When you've gone as low as they have with the abortion business, it's no surprise what else they might do. It's heartbreaking, it's troubling, but it's not really a surprise because if they'll prey on the vulnerable like they have been in these minority neighborhoods, then they'll go after anyone for any reason. And it comes back to where you started. It becomes about power and money. And yes. I think we overlook that reality to our peril. So many people are good-hearted and they just don't think the world can run that way, but that is what happens. So many things are driven by power and money, and we have to face up to that and look it squarely in the eye and respond appropriately. We cannot be naive about such things.
Absolutely. And let's really take a look at who are they doing this to. Children are so vulnerable. The human brain can only think of one thought at a time. You can multitask by going from one issue to another, but when you're thinking, you can only think of one thought at a time. So a child who might be having a problem in school, rather than finding out what the root cause is, it makes it easier for the psychologist to implant in that child the thought process that maybe they're not happy with their gender. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what you do to your body. There are only two genders. You can either be a male or a female. You can change and try, but there are DNA, there are genes, there are all kinds of things in your body that is attached to the fact of whether you are a male or a female. And anytime you try to suppress that, it leads to another problem. So what happens with these kids is that once they get it fixed in their mind that it's their gender that's making them the way they are, and they begin the gender transition, and many times without even telling their parents, this transition lasts for the rest of their life. They will have to take medication. They will be subject to all kinds of testing on a continual basis. And I sadly believe that these kids are being turned into guinea pigs that will be experimented on in the future because that's what history tells us about these people that are doing this. It's such a sad thing and creates so many problems. What can we do about it? And I'm going to harp on how great Florida was because, Pastor, here's your cue. This is a definite for the Hope Scholarship. If you think your child is being forced into something that you don't want and you live in Florida, you have an option. And I'm going to let Pastor tell you all about it.
Well, that's exactly right. We are very fortunate in Florida that the state legislature and the governor signed legislation that became law to establish the Hope Scholarship that gives parents the opportunity to identify some kind of offense in their school. And there are many on the list. It's easy to find out what qualifies. Any kind of intimidation intimidation, bullying, from the simple thing like kids steals your kids' lunch money or talks to them bad. There's all kinds of ways to qualify for the Hope Scholarship, and we'd be happy to help. You can go to our website, libertyscholar.org, for more information. There's a lot of information there that explains how to qualify and what to do, and we encourage people to do that, and we encourage them to do it right away. Now, I know it's difficult for parents to move their children out of a school. I understand that. And you may be reluctant. You may think that it's going to be okay, maybe for the rest of the school year. And maybe it is. I don't know your situation. Maybe you have a teacher that protects kids. Whatever the situation, if you have any idea that you would like to get your kid into a different school, it is important to apply for the Hope Scholarship right away. And maybe you would consider doing that, but starting your child in the new school in the fall, because that's an easier transition time. That's perfectly fine, but get qualified. Don't wait. Now is the time to rescue your children from a situation that they really don't even recognize as harmful. The kids don't know the difference, and we have to help them and protect them from those kinds of things.
As Pastor said, we are very fortunate that we are in Florida. I want everybody to caution you all. There are many bills in many states at this moment that are addressing school choice. Choice is only one small part of the problem, because the executive orders that Joe has put in place now address what the children will be learning. And that's really what the root is all about. It doesn't matter what the location is. It's great that they could be in a charter school, a private school. That's wonderful. But if it's mandated that they are teaching the GSA comes into your school, it doesn't matter what school they come into. The GSA is the Gay Straight Alliance, and they are going around offering grants to be able to talk to the teachers and to be able to recruit kids to become part of this team. Our children can't read, write, and do math. This is not important. What is important right now is that they can read, write, do math, can reason, have responsibility, and no common sense. And that's not what's being taught in our schools. Pastor is 100% right. And next week, I am very excited because we have been talking about issues and issues. And well, we're going to be talking about planning next week, what we can do about it. Everybody has a part that they can do. We then can all turn and ask God for his help and support as we get through this time. And so, Pastor, it's up to you. Can you close us out for this week with a prayer?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to pray. Father, we thank you that we can trust you and turn to you when we need you most. And you know who's listening and how badly they need you right now. And I pray that you would, by your grace, touch each one in just the way they need it. And for our nation, we pray that you would turn the hearts of the people back to you. We understand there are lots of issues, and we work to correct the harms and the dangers and the things that we do wrong. But we know that ultimately what needs to happen is for the hearts of the people to turn back to you. So I pray that you would move on the hearts of our nation and move on the hearts of our parents whose children are in school and who worry about what they're exposed to. And for those who have the opportunity to get them into a safer education environment, I pray that you'd give them courage. For those that think they have no options, show them that there really are, because we need to protect our children. And I pray for parents who will take courage and be willing to find a way to protect their children and preserve them, because children are indeed a gift from you, and we give you thanks for them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education with Pastor Rick Stevens. Have a wonderful week, folks. And please, America is a participation sport. There isn't going to be any one individual that's going to be coming in riding on his white horse saying, "I will save you." That's not going to happen. It is up to we, the Americans, to safeguard our children, our families, our communities, and our country. But our